been alive forever, and I wrote the very first song.
Barry Manilow, it's Charlie Brennan in St. Louis. I hope you're ready to take a chance again. Barry, I was going to ask you how you're doing, but I know you're doing well because you've released Night Songs 2, and it's already hit number 32 on the Billboard charts, and that marks the sixth consecutive decade for Barry Manilow having a top 40 charting album. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Charlie. It's the biggest surprise of my career, this album, just the piano and vocal, singing songs from the Great American Songbook, would wind up on the charts between Justin Bieber and Harry Styles. It is the craziest thing, but it really gives me hope that, you know, great songwriting may just have a chance again, and that there's, you know, public out there that loves to hear songs like that.
Absolutely. And I know you've got some of the greatest writers in the history of the American Songbook on this album.
Yes.
I'm guessing that your favorite, and this is a guess, I know you don't like to pick favorites, Harry Warren.
Now, you know, that is a great choice because, and how would you know that, Charlie? That's because Harry Warren wrote some of the greatest songs, most popular songs ever written in the 20s and 30s and 40s, and nobody knows this guy's name. They know George Gershwin, they know Leonard Bernstein, but they don't know Harry Warren. And if you look at this guy's body of work, it's every song from Chattanooga Choo Choo to At Last, My Love Has Come Along. And he wrote so many songs, and yet nobody knows this man.
Baby, say it and make my craziest dream come true.
Three Oscars, three Oscar nominations, and 21 number one hits.
Right. And still, and you know, there's a story that he was nominated for the Academy Award, and the guard wouldn't let him in because they didn't know him.
Oh, my goodness. At the Oscars, they wouldn't let him in because they didn't recognize him. Well, that explains everything.
Uh-huh.
By the way, Barry, is it an urban myth? People think that My Funny Valentine has to do with Valentine's Day?
My Funny Valentine came from a Broadway musical, and I think it was Pal Joey. And there was a character in this musical called Valentine. So the girl sings My Funny Valentine to him.
You're my funny Valentine.
And over the years, people think that My Funny Valentine is about Valentine's Day, but that would be untrue.
This is Barry Manilow. I gotta believe that you have some Johnny Mercer on this album. True or false?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's how I wanna be. As long as you'll agree to stay old-fashioned with me.
And as a matter of fact, you and Mrs. Mercer had kind of a connection, did you not?
Yeah, she tracked me down after Mr. Mercer passed away and through my record company, and she said that she had found an envelope that was filled with lyrics that nobody had ever put music to, and she wanted to know whether I was interested in trying to put some music to his lyrics, and of course I jumped at it. And there were 35 lyrics in this envelope, which I still have, and with his writing on it and crossed out lyrics and crossed out lines. And I put, you know, melodies to just about all of them. And one of them is a song that I wrote with his lyric called When October Goes. You know, and it's done in cabaret, and people have recorded it, and it's, I'm very proud of the melody, and his lyric is just gorgeous.
Oh, how I hate to see October go.
Barry Manilow has just released Night Songs 2, and when one goes to barrymanilow.com, one can order this for any occasion. And of course, in this age of COVID-19, you won't be touching or getting within 6 feet of anybody.
You know, speaking of these days, you know, everybody is so tense and afraid and uptight. One of the good things about having an album like this is that when you put it on, I think everybody will relax. Just for 11 songs worth, they'll just calm down. That's what I think it's going to do for the listener. That's what I hope it does.
I think so, too. It'll be like chocolate chip cookies and some warm milk, Barry Manilow.
Yep, I think so.
Well, or maybe a glass of wine by the fireside.
It's just like I'm sitting in your living room singing to you, and I think it'll relax you.
Our guest is Barry Manilow, and his new CD is Night Songs 2, To the Phones We Go.
I can't think of anybody else out there is doing what he's doing. So I've always wanted to ask Barry Manilow, when he was younger and growing up, what his musical influences were.
Okay.
My early musical influences were arrangers like Nelson Riddle and Don Costa, of all the people. Because that's what I wanted to do with my life when I was a youngster. I went to Juilliard the Juilliard School of Music, and I learned about orchestration, and that's what I was going to do with my life. I was going to be an arranger like Nelson Riddle, and I did that for a lot of singers, but the rest of my career took a left turn, and I wound up here.
Did you actually meet one of your co-writers, Marty Panzer, I think his name is, uh-huh, in the mailroom at CBS?
Yeah, we lived in the same area in Brooklyn, and we met on the subway, and not knowing that we were both going to the same place, which was the CBS mailroom, and we wound up being very, very close friends for the rest of our lives, and we started writing songs together, you know, very, very early on.
Another question for Barry Manilow.
Yeah, this message is for Mr. Manilow. In the movie The Breakfast Club, one of the students asked the vice principal, does Barry Manilow know you raided his wardrobe? Does Mr. Manilow upset about this line, or did he take it with a grain of salt?
Oh, they do that all the time to everybody. They do that all the time to everybody. And during those days, I was, just like Rod Stewart, wearing the most ridiculous outfits on stage. But everybody was doing it. They got me on that in that film.
Our guest is Barry Manilow, and his new CD is called Night Moves 2. And we're taking your phone calls on KMOX.
Good morning. The only person I saw that wrote jingles for a living was Charlie on Two and a Half Men. Who inspired Barry, and at what age, to write jingles for commercials?
What inspired me was the money.
Yeah,
I was lucky enough to get a job writing jingles back in those days when I was struggling. And I wrote my first jingle, and they bought it.
Like a good neighbor, Stead Farm is there.
And so from then on in, I was one of the millions of songwriters that they called if they needed a catchy melody for their product.
Well, Barry,
what can you say about...
We're going to take a quick break here and then come back in just a moment with more. Barry Manilow, our guest today on The Voice of St. Louis. What a career. 85 million records sold, including the newest one, Night Songs Part 2. That's Night Songs Part 2.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Well, you came and you gave, well, I take it, but I sent you away, oh man.
Well, what can you say about Barry Manilow? He has really done it all. 14 Grammy nominations. He has been nominated for a Grammy in every decade since the 1970s. He's received the Best Pop Male Vocal Performance Grammy. He's also received an Emmy, a Tony, and 3 American Music Awards. He's one of the world's all-time best-selling recording artists with 85 million albums sold worldwide, 50 top 40 singles, 12 number ones, 27 top tens, and he's ranked as the number one adult contemporary artist of all time, according to Billboard and R&R magazines. Really incredible. And of course, he's in the Songwriter Hall of Fame, but I think you're probably best at being an arranger, the guy who decides when the drums will fade or when the flute comes in. How do you feel?
I think you're right, Charlie. I do. You know, I started off with the song you would know would be the one I did for Bette Midler, because I used to work with Bette. I was her conductor and her music director. And she wanted to do You Want to Dance, you know, the old rock and roll thing. And I suggested that we do it as a ballad. And so that's an arranger. That's what an arranger does.
Do you want to dance and hold my hand?
You take a rock and roll song, change the chords around, and make it into a pretty ballad. And that's the kind of thing I loved doing for her and for myself. And for everybody else.
Let me ask you a couple of quick questions about your past. Number one, is it true that Mandy was not originally Mandy?
No, it was a song called Brandy. This is a song I didn't write. This was when Clive Davis came into my life, who is a great song man. And he kept looking for songs for me that would be on the radio. And then I would write some, and then he would give me some. And this was the first song he gave me. It was a rock and roll song called Brandy. And I didn't know what he wanted me to do with a rock and roll song, but I went in and recorded this song as a rock and roll song, and it was terrible. I sounded terrible, and I thought, I don't know what he's thinking of. And when he came in, he said, what is that? I said, that's what you wanted me to do. He said, no. So during the afternoon, I had slowed Brandy down and changed the chords around and gave it a key change. And I played that version of it for him. And he said, just do that. And that's Mandy. We changed the title from Brandy, because there had already been a song called Brandy, and we changed it to Mandy, and we did my arrangement of it, and the rest is history.
And that Clive Davis actually didn't like one of your greatest hits of all time.
No, he didn't. I don't think he still does. He didn't like Copacabana, and they wouldn't release it as a single, but the public loved it.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down her leg.
How about Andrew Lloyd Webber? What was his take on your version of Memory from Cats?
Yeah, I don't think he liked it, because I did change his arrangement around. You know, he loved his arrangement that they do in the show, and it's awfully good in the show, but I didn't think that arrangement would be friendly on the radio, so I changed it around to be a pop song, and I think he had trouble with what I did.
Memory, all alone in the moonlight.
6 decades, what a remarkable achievement. You've had top-selling albums in 6 decades. What recommendations would you have for others who would like to become popular singer-songwriters, Barry Manilow?
Go from the heart. I always, you know, I'm all about feelings. If it doesn't feel right, it's not going to work. As a songwriter, you know, I think the public can hear whether you're being truthful or not. And as a singer, boy, they can definitely hear whether you mean what you're singing. So my answer to that, my suggestion is to make sure you're feeling what you're doing.
Do you think that melody and lyrics will return to American music?
The younger people have been the growing up with all sorts of great rhythm records, just great rhythm records. You can't resist it. But now they're discovering melodies. They're saying, what's this? It's a melody! And that's very encouraging. Maybe that's one of the reasons that this album might be interesting to the public, because they're filled with great melodies and great lyrics.
Especially in this day and age, as you mentioned, the album is called Night Songs 2. It's the second album of great songs from the Great American Songbook. And as we say goodbye, would you like to pick a number that will leave you with?
Why don't you play My Funny Valentine? Everybody seems to love this rendition of My Funny Valentine, and we've already spoken about it. And it was the last song I put on this album because my manager came to me and said, I think we're going to release this around Valentine's Day. And I went, oh, wait a minute. And I ran into the studio and I recorded this version of My Funny Valentine.
Barry Manilow, thank you very much for sharing your music with us for six decades. Congratulations on another chart buster, Night Songs 2.
Thank you, Joey.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Stay. It's Valentine's Day.
The one and only Barry Manilow with us on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX, Night Songs 2, brand new from Mr. Manilow.